Shabbat Shalom. Good to see you. Yeah, 10 days of repentance, of thinking about yourself, about your walk with the Lord. It's a great time. It's a great time. So today's Torah portion, let's go straight to the Torah portion. Today's Torah portion, Hazinu. And let us open Deuteronomy chapter 32 and read a couple scriptures from here, from this place of script, from this Torah portion. In the days of Yamim Naraim, in the days of Ah, one of the most important topics of reflection is indicated in the Bible in this week's Torah portion. And Deuteronomy 32, verse 10. Let's start with verse 9. But Adonai's portion is his people. Jacob is the share of his inheritance. He found him in the wilderness land, in the void of howling waste. He surrounded him, cared for him, guarded him as the pupil of his eye. What a beautiful picture here. The Lord found Israel in the dry land, and he protected Israel. He led Israel through so many difficult things. He was with Israel all the time. And let's read verse 15. Skip a couple verses and read verse 15. But Jeshurun grew fat and kicked. You got fat. You grew thick. You gorged. He forsook God who made him. He marked the rock of his salvation. This is the serious place of Scripture. Very serious and very important for us to understand. How much is said in these verses from today's Torah chapter already said here? So deep, so interesting, so much things to think about. So the Lord found them in a difficult situation, carried on the winds of love, kept, led, showed the way to Israel, provided everything necessary, answered prayers, and what ingratitude he received from his people. Verse 15 we can see. How many incredible things and miracles happened before the eyes of the Jewish people. We know that the sea moved apart, and not every day we'll see the ocean or sea moved apart. It's very rare. It's only once in the history of mankind. The Lord did it for them. A huge army of enemies perish. Manna descends from heaven. Water flows from a stone, from a rock. The cloud of God's presence stands during the day to give a shadow from God's presence. And the pillar of fire to warm in cold nights in the deserts, in the presence of the Lord. The Lord was with Israel all the time. And it is not every day that you will see the Lord descend on a mountain in his power and glory to give Ten Commandments to Israel, to us. But in spite of all of this, the people became spiritually fat and lazy. They considered that it was not a blessing from God that made them successful and prosperous, but their own wisdom and strength. They begin to think about themselves. Because they are so good, the Lord blessed them. Because they are so wise, now they're prosperous. I mean, isn't it something we know about us too? We need to be careful with it because it's a very important place of Scripture. True, this is so reminiscent of some peoples in today's time too. You know, when I read this place of Scripture, I truly pray for the country in which we live today, so that we can appreciate and be grateful for all the blessings and for all what we have living in the USA today. We are blessed to live in this country. We are blessed. We have everything, abundance of everything. Believe me, I came from Ukraine. I lived many years in Ukraine, in past communist country. And I know how difficult it is to live there and how blessed we are here. I know the difference. If you want to know the difference, ask me. Or just buy a ticket and fly there. You will see things. And then maybe you will appreciate the place where you live. Yes. But it is also true for us, for each one of us as individuals. Even as it was for ancient Israel, we are just as tempted to take our easy lives for granted, to become lazy in our prosperity. Every one of us, we are tempted. As I reflected upon this message from the Bible, I realized that spiritual laziness and ingratitude is a very big and serious temptation for us. It's a very big and serious temptation for us. And in fact, can be for every person on earth in all the levels of our spiritual life. We need to be careful and to watch over our hearts. I don't know what about you, but I constantly have to stand guard over my heart. I must to do tshuva, turn to God every day of my life. I believe this is a style of life of every child of God. To do tshuva, to turn to the Lord, to remember who we are and who is our master, who really is the source of our blessing. We need to remember it and to be grateful for Him. So, may I share an example from my own life and my ministry in Ukraine? It's very interesting example that taught me for all my life in my ministry. When I led Messianic congregation in Ukraine, we had a wonderful tradition there. Every summer, we rented a campground for an entire week. The families in our congregation all went on vacation together for 1 week. It was every year in our congregation there. During the day, we held seminars, played games, and went swimming. It was a beautiful time, lots of fun, lots of different things there, building relationships. Each evening, we had the services and a time of worship. So can you imagine? It was beautiful. Around us were many others also on vacation. People who were not part of our congregation, but who came to join us in our meetings. And many of them gave their life to the Lord during this time. Because it's every day the worship, presence of the Lord, prayer for each other, beautiful time. These were unforgettable days at the Mishpacha family camp. We called it Mishpacha. Family camp. And then, one day, we decided to change the campground. For sure, we decided to find something better. We rented a different location, a new place, a much better place for us. So I remember how I went to the camp, concluded a contract, checked every house in which we had to stay. I checked that there were clean toilets and hot water, everything. I took pictures and I sent it to people in the congregation. We assigned the numbers of the houses to everyone, so everyone was happy. So, but please, don't forget it was in Ukraine. It was not in America, it was in Ukraine. So, now it's time for us to go to the camp. We rented buses and in a friendly and joyful crowd of about 200 people, we went to camp, anticipating a comfortable and enjoyable vacation there. So full of expectation and, you know, our memories and expectation. So we came there, and once again, it's not United States, it's Ukraine. In Ukraine, you can everything can happen, anything. Things such as a violated lease agreement, which you can do nothing about. I mean, you can sign paper, you can come there, and I'm sorry, I don't know where this paper disappeared. So you see, the camp director was replaced by a new director who changed everything. We arrived at camp with such great expectation for an easy week of vacation for us, finding that our cabins were already occupied by other campers. So can you imagine here? So I'm especially just doing this cloud here, like I'm painting this picture here. We were left with less than desirable houses, with non-clean, sometimes toilets, and no hot water in some places. Oh, for United States it's something, yeah? You know, I can tell you, This was the day when I experienced the life of Moses for one day. I have stood where Moses stood. I have walked in his shoes for one day, from the morning till the evening, from arising till retirement. Some very pious people, smiling, humble people, very spiritual sheep, suddenly showed their teeth. And I can tell you, promise you, these teeth were nothing like the teeth of sheep. They bite very, very, very hard. So I felt like Moses when the people of Israel demanded impossible things from him. Meat from heaven, water from rock, now, today. And what can I do there? Nothing can I do. We're already there, 200 people, we came in the camp. So, and then, during this time, I learned a very powerful and important lesson for me in my life. It is so easy to judge people walking in the desert, especially when you sit in the comfortable chair. It is very easy to judge others. So easy to judge the people of Israel as they wandered in the wilderness, as they quenched to Moses and complained to the Lord, when you have never experienced such difficulties for yourself. It's easy to judge others, but we need to be careful with ourselves, with our hearts. But what if you run into such difficulties? Personally, you. What happens in your own heart? How do you respond when it costs you to serve God? What would you do? How do you deal with your vacation when you come to camp and don't find the comforts you were expecting? That is when you learn what you made of, what you are made of. This is the moment. What is in your heart? Whether you are ready to humble follow the Lord. So, thankfully, I can say that next day everyone come down. It was kind of day of reflection, Yom Kippur for us there. Everybody repented. Few people turned and went home because they can't handle this. But in the end, everyone forgot about the inconvenience of this camp and the disappointment, because it was one of the most interesting and exciting camps we ever had. And the Lord Himself was with us all week. It was a wonderful experience. Until now, if you will ask people in the congregation, what was the best camp? Everyone will say, this camp was the best camp. We had such a wonderful presence of the Lord. Joyful camp. So much time with the Lord. This is how the Lord taught us as a community. And that specific moment in Ukraine. So, how important it is for us to watch over our hearts so we not fall into a stage of ingratitude to God and towards the people whom He has put into our lives. So, watch over your heart. Let's say together, watch over your heart. I would say, watch over my heart. Help me, Lord, to watch over my heart. Help me, Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 46 and 47. Let's open Bibles together. Deuteronomy 32, verse 46 and 47. And please don't forget, today is the Shabbat Shuvah, Shabbat of repentance, of turning to God. Tomorrow is Yom Kippur, Kol Nidre. So this is the time to watch over our hearts, to repent, to think about our life. It is so important moments for us. It's a precious moment. So Deuteronomy 32, verse 46 and 47. And how deep is this verse? He said to them, put in your hearts all the words that I call as witness against you today, that you may command your children to keep and do all the words of this Torah. And verse 47. For it is not an empty thing for you. This is not an empty thing for you. because it is your life. By this word, you will prolong your days on the land which you are crossing over the Jordan to possess. Yeah, can you hold your Bible if you have with you? Yeah, I will hold my electronic Bible. Yeah, thank you so much. I'm not alone. I remember the times that to hold phone on the service was the crime, you know. What are you doing? Open your Bible. Now it is the part of our life. I mean, so I'm not speaking about the phone. I'm speaking about the Bible in the phone. This is not an empty thing for you. This is your life. This is so serious that it can prolong your life, your days, on the place that the Lord prepared for you. This is so interesting, so important for us to know. We can have so much strength, power, to accomplish what the Lord has prepared for us through the Scriptures, through the Bible, through the Torah. I want to take a few lessons from the Torah chapter and show you how to preserve yourself and your relationship with God. And I know this is so deep and interesting theme, so I probably will give a series of sermons on this direction. But let's go together. So how to protect ourselves, how to stay healthy, how to not to be like in this Israel, in this place of Scripture, not to grow fat and lazy in spiritual life. So let's open Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. And I want to give some practical steps on Yom Kippur, because it is important for us to remember. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. So the first thing, I believe, it's an important thing, very important thing. I put it first. Strive for a goal. Strive for a goal. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself as having taken hold of this, but this one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. And verse 14, I press on towards the goal for the reward of the upward calling of God and Messiah Yeshua. I press on. I press on towards the goal. I press on towards the goal from the Lord to my life. This is the answer for many spiritual devastated people and a cure for many spiritual diseases. Strive for a goal. Go forward. Never go back. Never stop. Always go after the Lord. It is an important lesson for us. And if you remember in Israel, when the Lord led Israel through the wilderness, His fire, His presence were before them. And they are supposed to follow Him, follow the Lord everywhere He leads them. I have a question for you. What if people of Israel decided to go in different direction? Will the Lord follow them? The Lord is the Lord. He is following Himself. He is the leader. Very important statement. He is the boss. Who is the boss in the house? Yes, Lord, you are the boss. Follow Him. This is what the Lord has inscribed on my heart with His hand. Many years ago, I want to share with you Psalm 89, verse 16. Psalm 89, verse 16. Blessed are the people who know the joyful shout. Let's say together, shout. Yes, thank you so much. In Hebrew, it's teruah. Teruah. Sound of the shofar. Shofar blessed. Blessed are the people who know the joyful shofar or shout of the shofar. Shofar call. They walk in the light of your presence. The trumpet call. Trumpet from the Lord. The sound of the heavenly shofar is the voice of the Lord that guides us, leads us forward, shows us our calling and our destiny. And blessed are the people who can hear the voice of heavenly shofar. I don't know how about you, but when I hear the voice of the Lord, I'm happiest man on the earth. When I know where He is leading me, I'm happiest because I can hear His voice. I believe this is our goal here, to learn how to hear the voice of the Lord, the shofar blessed, teruah. It's very important to remember, you and I were created for a special purpose. And even before our birth, even before the creation of this world, each of us was already in the heart of God. Please understand it. It is so important. The Lord already loved us before we were born into this world. He already was full of love towards you. He knew you even before you were born. You was in His heart. There are no unwanted children and no unwanted people in this world. There are many people in this world who do not know their heavenly Father. They don't know their Father. The one who created this world, and therefore these people do not understand how much they are loved and desired by God. This is where loneliness is coming from not knowing the Lord. You know, sometimes even in the family, people can be lonely. Even with friends, they can feel loneliness because this is empty space only can be filled by the Lord. Yeshua told us, I will never leave you or forsake you. He told us that He will give us the Spirit of the Lord, Holy Spirit, who will live inside of us. Can you imagine? Closer than anybody else, even wife and children, they cannot be closer than the Lord because He is the most closer to us. He lives inside of us. The love of God is much stronger and greater than the love of earthly parents. It can heal any spiritual wound and overcome any experience of rejection. Presence of the Lord, His love has power to heal. Amen. I've experienced many times the healing from the Lord in His presence. I know what is it to be healed by the Lord. Sometimes we are so joyful about healing of our body, but healing of our soul, sometimes it's the most important part. Sometimes sickness, spiritual sickness or pain, you can't hold it. Sometimes it's easy to have pain in body than spiritual pain. But I want to tell you, the Lord has the power to heal because His love overcomes everything. So, the Lord prepared you, created you, put in you unique gifts and abilities and gave birth to you. He gave birth to you. Despite of many things, He gave birth to you. He's first. In this world, so that you have a meaning in your life and can be useful for the Lord and for people around you, can fulfill your unique calling that God has prepared for you. Think about this. This is the freedom in the Lord. This is the blessing from the Lord. How difficult it is to wander this world without understanding and never seeing the purpose for your own creation. It is a hard job. Very difficult. The result of losing of the purpose in verse 15, Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 15, we read it together. But Jeshurun grew fat and kicked. You got fat, you grew thick, you gorged. He forsook God who made him. He marked the rock of his salvation. This small place of scripture, forsook God who made him. The purpose that the Lord prepared for them. The goal, why He led them out of Egyptian slavery. What was the purpose of it? Only to bless them, only to give them prosperity. Why? What's the calling in your life? The Lord has a beautiful calling for you. All this happened because the children of Israel forgot who they were, why they were created, and by whom, and what was God's task for them. You know, here is the very important truth in a very simple words. So if you will forget everything, remember this thing. We are created to know God. Let's say together, to know God. And the second, to do His will. To do His will. We are created to know Him and to do His will. Shabbat Shuvah, Yom Kippur time. Shuvah, idea of Shuvah, it means return. Turn around from your ways to the Lord. You know, because He creates us for His purpose. To know Him and to do His will. It's a beautiful. I have a very interesting example. I mean, when I read it, it's really excited me. What do you think would have happened in the life of the Apostle Peter if he had not followed the Messiah? So what do you think? No doubt he would have lived the hard life of a sailor. Yeah, he would live probably a good life, difficult life, and died living behind a boat and children probably. Yeah. And, you know, his family would know, okay, he was good father, grandfather, and thank him for leaving us both, put in the tree and give birth for us. Yeah, we will remember him. But look how the world has changed through him. Because he once said to the Lord, "Yes, Lord, where should we go? You have the keys of eternal life." Do you remember answer when the Lord asked him, "Are you leaving me?" Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have trusted and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." His life changed because he made Shuvah. He said, "Yes, Lord, I'm open. What do you want from me?" And you know, our lives changed too because of him. We are here. And one of the things why we are here, because he and people like him, sailors, tax collector, other people were ready to say, "Yes, Lord." We can influence this world by the grace of the Lord, by saying, "Yes, Lord," and following him. It's a beautiful. But everything starts with the understanding you are born in this world not to just live through this life and die. You're born to say, "Yes, Lord," to know him and to accomplish his word, his will. I believe that one of the simplest and most necessary prayers for us today is a question to God. I mean, I'm seriously thinking about it. And this is Shabbat Shuvah. The simple prayer, and actually a very dangerous prayer, but simple. How can I be useful to you? What do you want in my life? It is so simple, so short, and it's a beautiful thing. I believe for some people it will be like a door, you know. You open the door of opportunities for the Lord to do something in your life. "Lord, what do you want from me? Lord, where do you see me? What can I do for you, Lord? How can I be useful for you?" And please don't forget in the morning if the Lord will answer you, and the night. Remember his answer. Write it down and say, "Yes, Lord, help me to accomplish it." And he will definitely make the answer clear to anyone who really wants to know. In Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6 to 11. Isaiah 55, 6 to 11. I want to read only one verse 6. "Seek Adonai while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Where two or three are gathered together in the name of Yeshua, he is here." So seek him because he can be found. Ask him and he will answer you. You remember, knock and he will open. for sure. The second thing, and I will, I have probably 20 more pages, but let's go fast. I mean, it's very together, going together with one first idea, to remember a goal in your life. The second thing, do not consider yourself completed. Do not consider yourself completed. Do not stop. Strive for more. I mean, you know the will of God, you know the Lord, and now you are 20 years in faith, 40 years of faith. Wow. You are general. You are not soldier anymore. Everybody is supposed to, you know, clap and stand when you come in. Yeah. So, no. He's our general. He's the boss in the house. He's the one. The same, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself as having taken hold of this, but I'm going, I'm pressing, I'm trying to find the will of God, I'm trying to accomplish what He wants from me. You know, I found it's very interesting. This principle, do not consider yourself completed, do not stop, strive for more. This principle is valid everywhere and always. Everywhere and always. In the business world, there are the successful ones who constantly push forward. I mean, you can try to explain your boss that you don't want to do anymore. For sure. You want to be boss, but you don't want to do anything. Yeah. Good desire. But I don't think it's possible to accomplish. You can try to do in the army. Go to your general, said, no more. It's enough. I want to sleep until midday. I want to do what I want to do. I think it's not going to be well in your life. So it's true everywhere, and it's true in spiritual life. It's true in the spiritual life. Someone once gave an interesting example that I will remember for the rest of my life. It was a blessing for me to hear that. It's his impression, but very touched my heart. The path of spiritual growth is like an escalator to the sky that is constantly descending, so going slowly, going back. If one wishes to move up, he must make every effort. He must strive. He must run up the escalator. Because if you will stand, you will not stay in the same place. You will slowly go back. Do you agree with me? I know, I found it about myself. When I'm relaxed in the spiritual life, next thing I need to repent and do the same exercises again and again, to follow the Lord, to pray again, to push myself. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 and 27. Let's open it together, please. We have only 19 pages now, so we are moving forward. Shabbat Shuvah, the most important Shabbat before Yom Kippur. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, 27. Don't you know that is a stadium the runners all run? In a stadium, the runners all run, but one receives the prize. Run in such a way that you may win. Verse 25. Every competitor exercises self-control in all respect. They do it to receive a perishable crown, but we do it to receive an imperishable one. Verse 26. So I run in this way, not aimlessly. So I box in this way, not beating the air. Actually, box was there, you know. It's a long, long time of the... Rather, I punish my body and bring it into submission, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. Wow. After I preach to others, I myself will not be disqualified. What an interesting comparison the Apostle Paul gives here. You know, do we have anybody who loves football games? Probably not so much, because now I know that some football is going on, so you're here. Yeah, it's the test. But for everyone who is watching me too, if you love football, what do you think is easier, sitting at the stadium and telling the athlete what do he need to do to win the match, or to do it actually to win? What's the easier way? Probably easier to sit and to just help others by screaming at them, go faster. Are you lazy? What are you doing? Yeah. I think that we all understand how much work, training, and time it takes to win in sports. It is huge commitment. And although there must be some talent is not enough. You need to work hard. So Paul compares our spiritual life to sports, in which training is constantly needed as an effort to win. And this is why I said, this is not empty for you. The Torah, the Bible, it's not empty for you. It is meaningful. It has a lot of meaning for you. In the Word from God, everything is for you. Never stop. Do not consider yourself to be completed, spiritually mature, or spiritually wise. Do not do this. Always aim forward. It is always growth for you. Always tomorrow. Always a blessing for you. Think of yourself humbly. Always strive for God and His values. Study the Word of God to grow. This is the food for you. Amen. Thank you very much. And let's welcome Rabbi David. Rabbi David.
Rabbi Yuri, as you were speaking, I had this desire to ask you to pray for everybody who has a desire to move forward, and especially for people who might be watching later, who might be watching the video on Facebook Live later or on YouTube, who come to this realization they want to begin to serve the Lord. They want to begin to walk with the Lord. Would you take a moment before we close and just pray for everyone whose heart is responding to this message, and they want to sincerely turn to the Lord?
Yeah, thank you, Rabbi David. I believe one of the most important lessons of Yom Kippur, actually, this is this lesson. Because Teshuvah without following steps doesn't have any meaning. If you do Teshuvah once a year and you're at the same place next year, this is something wrong. If you made Teshuvah today, it means that you are following the Lord. Next year, you will be in the much better shape. And, you know, sometimes when we found ourselves in the wilderness or laziness, spiritual laziness, I believe the very important moment to understand that the Lord loves you. He is not condemning you. He is not finished with you. It is mercy from the Lord that you even see yourself in such condition. It means that the Spirit of God is with you and is working in your heart right now. Not to condemn you, but to take you out of your situation and give you next step. And it's wonderful. He's a wonderful Lord. He's a wonderful Father. Please remember that. If you are really in difficult condition, spiritual condition, it means that today you have opportunity to say, Lord, thank you. Thank you that you told me, you showed me, I have tomorrow. Thank you, Lord. I'm not dead. I can live. I can breathe. I can do your will. Thank you, Lord. So I want to pray, Lord, thank you so much for your mercy for every one of us, Lord. Thank you for speaking into our hearts, Lord, for showing us the way. Thank you for times of closeness with you, Lord. Thank you that you are helping us to walk with you every day of our life, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Please touch every heart, Lord. Everyone who is in bad spiritual shape, Lord, who needs your help, who needs your presence, Lord, please bless them. Bless all of us, Lord. Help us to make teshuvah. Help us to turn to you, Lord. Help us by your presence, Lord, in the name of Yeshua. Thank you, Lord, that no condemnation for those who in Messiah Yeshua lived by Spirit, Lord. Thank you so much. In the name of Yeshua. Amen. Amen.